This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Holy, holy.
God, on this Trinity Sunday, we thank you that you choose to love us as a father, that you choose to love us so much that you send to us your only Son, Jesus, and that you love us so much that you want to remain with us always through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. May we treasure that presence always. Amen. Good morning. Happy Trinity Sunday. This happens to be the eighth sermon to this congregation I will have delivered on a Trinity Sunday, and still I haven't been able to explain it. But none of us ever can, because it is truly a mystery. We know the ways in which God is present to us, but in God's infinitude, there is no way we can ever explain it away. People have tried throughout the ages with St. Patrick's shamrock and the three different clover leaves, to the different forms of water, steam, and ice, to all sorts of different ways we have looked at to try to help us to get in touch with it. But to paraphrase the words of Martin Luther, if we would try to explain the Trinity, we would endanger our sanity. We can't do it. But there was something, I was taking this class, that I encountered a particular icon that seemed to be showing up in copy form in the different churches and cathedrals that we visited, and it intrigued me so much that I started to look into the history of that, and I think it really helps us to get in touch with not only the Trinity, but to get into touch with what we are celebrating this day, with both baptism and communion and this incredible gospel of the Great Commission that we have on this Trinity Sunday. Back in the 14th century, there was a man by the name of Rublev, who was known for writing icons. We talk about writing icons, not painting them. And he was asked to do one to commemorate a certain person in the church. Now, in those days, just like you might recall when it wasn't proper to say the word God, even for some of our Jewish brothers and sisters today, they came up with different euphemisms for it, like Yahweh. Similarly, it wasn't considered proper to try to depict God on paper in art. And so the icon writers and artists would disguise it. And one of the famous ways in which they would choose to disguise it would be to sort of put the Trinity into the picture, or God into the picture, in a disguised format. A very popular way to do that was through the story of Genesis. You might recall in Genesis 18, three angels come to visit Abraham and Sarah. And they end up telling Sarah that she's going to have a child, even in her old age, and Sarah laughs. What he decided to do, Rublev, was that he decided to be bold. He decided that he was not going to try to hide the Trinity in the midst of that icon. He was going to put them front and center to make it clear this was God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He drew a very famous icon that looks like this. Now I look at that icon and I see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are surrounded by what we celebrate today with communion. In the story of Abraham and Sarah, you might recall where they tell Abraham and Sarah to make these little cakes of bread for them, and Abraham and Sarah show them hospitality. Certainly the presence of God through the Eucharist is crucial for us in our faith. But what I'd like to concentrate upon today is the boldness that Rublev chose to demonstrate in what he did. This was a risky thing for him to do in that day and age. It's almost as if he wanted to say, this is who God is for me, and this is who I am, and I'm going to put it out there, and I really don't care about what anybody else thinks, because this is the truth. The question it ends up raising for us in the midst of this Great Commission gospel and baptism and Eucharist as well is this: do we know who we are? And do we have a comfort level with expressing that and living it out as well? For the most part, I think the people in this church, save Emerson today, have been baptized. Baptism is our coming out party. Baptism is the time when we say, this is who God is, this is who I am in God, and this is the way in which I will live my life. It's a public thing. That's why we do it in this forum. What becomes the importance for us going forward from that is, how are we going to express that and live it in our lives? Now, one of the classic approaches comes out of the Great Commission gospel that we just heard. Go and baptize all people, evangelize the world. And one of the ways that traditionally got interpreted is that horrible connotation we have of somebody who comes knocking on our door, has this piece of paper and says, confess your sins and say this prayer and I'll pour some water and you're saved from hell. It drives us nuts, doesn't it? We know that that's not the way it works. But on the other extreme, we can get to a point where, because we don't want to offend anyone, we keep our faith inside, and we end up forgetting who we are. We are Christians. We are blessed to be Episcopalians. We should not be afraid of either of those words. It is a gift God has given to us. It is a gift that God has given us, enable us to share that with the world. Not to be knocking on doors and saving people from the fires of hell, but this incredible gift that God has given to us we need to remember who we are to begin with. There's no way we can share anything with anybody unless we understand and express clearly who we are. I think the Episcopal Church as a denomination has more to offer to our world right now than just about any other denomination. Because of our open and inclusiveness and preaching the grace of God, that we are all beloved children of God, made in God's image and likeness, is an incredible message for our world to hear. Why would we want to hide that? It is something like the light of Christ to display for all the world to see. So do you know who you are? Some practical consequences of that for us. This Eucharist that we celebrate, along with all the other sacraments, is the way in which we remember who we are. We come together on a regular basis for that purpose, so that we can remember not only what God has done for us, but what God continues to do for us, and so that we can continue to live it out in our everyday lives. Practical thing. Most families, when we gather around our table to have dinner, in our house, unfortunately, it doesn't happen very often with our schedules, but when we do, we start that meal with prayer. We thank God for the gifts God has given to us. How often do we get into situations when we then go out into the public, and when we are gathered for a meal, suddenly the grace goes away? Not that we want to make a show of our religion, but for us it becomes that opportunity. I am a Christian, and whether it's in the silence of my heart or whether it's inviting others who are there to join us, even in bowing our heads in silence, to give God thanks for the gifts that have been bestowed. I shared an incredible experience I had some time ago with one of my theological heroes, Reggie McNeil, and he urged us, a group of clergy who were gathered, the next time we went out to lunch together during the class, when the waitress came over to the table, for us to say to that person, we're about to give God thanks for what we're about to receive. We'd just like to know, is there anything in your life you'd like us to pray for right now? And we'd be glad to offer that up for you. Not only did that person have something that they wanted us to pray for, they wanted to join with us in that prayer. The opportunities for us are incredible. Not to be afraid to express our faith, not to be banging on doors and insisting, but an open invitation of sharing because of this incredible gift that we have been given, remembering who we are. And the last thing we need to remember is the gospel today's verse. And it says, they worshiped him and some doubted. That's an incredibly important line for us. If you look in some of the Greek texts, it doesn't say some doubted, it just says they worshiped him and doubted. As if Matthew wants us to understand they didn't have their act all together either. These 11 who God was sending out, they didn't have it all figured out, but they knew that there was something there that was so important that they wanted to share it. And so too it is for us. We're not going to figure out the Trinity. We're never going to be able to explain it. If you do, come talk to me. But we have an incredible gift that we've been given. Let's continue to live it and share it. Amen.